I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine
and Caroline. Today, we're going to talk about trusting your gut and like what that gut feeling means and when to go with intuition and when to go with logic. I don't necessarily think there's one direct answer, but it's something I've been super curious about.
Every time.
Love versus logic, JP Sachs.
I feel like that's not the first time we've brought that song up in an episode before.
No. He's one of those people who has like good lyrics, relatable lyrics. I like music with meaningful lyrics. That's kind of my vibe of music. Doesn't even matter the genre. It's like it could be country, it could be pop, it could be, it's not usually rap, but lyrics over everything in my book. But I've been curious about like what the gut feeling means, because the more that I've been analyzing, or I guess analyzing is funny because analyzing isn't really trusting your gut, but the more that I've been thinking about my life in general and the way that I make choices, the more that I'm kind of curious about what that gut feeling actually means and like what it means to have a strong intuition and when is right to be more logical in your decisions and when is right to kind of go with your gut. So we want to break that down today, kind of from a psychological standpoint of what that gut feeling actually means, but then also in an actionable way of like, you know, not everything in your life has to be taken from a psychological standpoint because we're human. So also a little bit of situations where trusting our gut has gone right or wrong for us and where I think that leaves the question of trusting your gut versus logical reasoning. Before we get into it, let's do some highs, lows, and goals of the week. And Catherine, do you have a high?
My high of the week, it kind of doubles as my low of the week, was last Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday. I have a class that goes from 3:30 to 5 something, and I have a couple friends in it. And normally it's like, it's a good class. It's really interesting. It's very discussion based, which is good. I don't know what was in the air last Tuesday. We were all like, nonverbal is not the word because I was talking. I just wasn't saying much. You know what I mean? And we were texting the entire time, just like iMessage next to each other.
Also with me in the group chat too.
In group chats, yeah. And because it was just like, I don't know what was, again, what was in the air. Everything was funny. Everything was funny. And there was one point where I lost it. Like out loud, I laughed out loud and I was so embarrassed. It was really loud in the room, so it was, like, fine because everyone was talking. But my friend said something and was like, now emote. And I started laughing on the spot. On the spot. So a low because, like, I don't think I retained a single thing from that class. We're analyzing Fortnite as Epic Games as a firm, like,
interesting
in the industry in general. So it was already like that was the vibe of the class, was we were Fortnite. Discussing Fortnite, and people were sending in someone texted us in our, like, in our group chat, you know, the Instagram create, the memes that are literally just Instagram create mode screenshots,
no,
like the pink background with white okay. big text.
Yeah, sure.
One of them, it just says, man, I love Fortnite.
And MILF.
Correct. It was so, it's just so funny. So that was the tone of the class, which I left being like feeling really energized because I was drained prior to the class. And I feel like that was a good social time for me.
So that was your high?
Yeah, it was, well, it was nice of both, I'd say. Okay. My low is that my sleep score every single night, Dad and I have been checking in because our dad's been traveling, and I send him my sleep score in the morning. And he sends me his back, and we're rocking with 50s and below for a couple days.
That's really bad.
Yeah, how do you know? Is it because of the whoop?
Mm-hmm. Okay, my high of the week was also on Tuesday. Tuesday has historically, as in the past couple months, been my boxing day. That's when I do a boxing class at the gym. And, you know, typically I go with one of my friends who's a guy, which is nice to, like, you know, have someone supportive there at boxing, because it can be like somewhat of an intimidating environment, you know? It's a small room. It feels very intimate. Like, workout classes can already kind of feel like you're being watched a little bit. But, like, boxing in particular, it's just, you know, it just feels like that next level. And there's not always other girls there. There are actually most of the time. Like, but
you don't know how to box.
No, but I actually do now. Like, I actually do.
I stand corrected.
Yeah. You haven't seen me box. Like, I'm actually...
I haven't been because I'm always busy when...
Yeah,
but the boxing happens, but we're going today, and I'm nervous because I don't know how to box, and I'm like,
what are
we going to
do? Yeah, but there's no class today. We're just playing around by ourselves. But on this class on Tuesday, my friend who usually goes with me couldn't go, and I was like, you know what? Like, I'm still going to go. I can do it by myself. Usually they overbook the class, and so you have to share a bag with two people. Yeah, well, not overbook, but, like, they allocate. No, so you have to kind of alternate using the bag. So, like, if you have a sequence, you kind of work it out, like, how you're going to split it up, which is, like, it's, you know, it works. It makes sense. More people can be in the class. But, like, it's hard to fully get in the zone when you're, like, conscious of sharing the bag with another person and you're going back and forth a bit. This time, for whatever reason, it was not overbooked. I had a bag to myself. This was the first time that that's happened, that, like, I've had a heavy bag to myself, and I've just gotten to, like, throw the punches and throw the combos. And we also had a sub for a teacher, and this guy was super sick. He was so funny. I think he said he was, like, 31 or something, but he said that he was, like, I was raised by my uncles. They would wake me up before school every day growing up. I ran 5 miles every morning growing up. Like, he was, like, a badass, like, super disciplined. Oh, sort of dude. But he was also super nice, but he was very technical in boxing, whereas the other classes have been a bit more, like, focused on the workout, not necessarily technique. And this, he definitely was, like, giving pointers on technique and stuff. And so to have a bag to myself, get some technique pointers, and he was, like, super complimentary of everyone and super supportive. And it was just, like, it was just fun. Like, I tapped in. I felt good. Like, those hooks I was throwing, it was echoing in the room. They were hard. So that was probably my high of the week. That, you know, I wasn't sure if I was going to go because I didn't necessarily want to go alone. And that ended up being, like, totally great. My low of the week, everything happened on Tuesday. My low of the week was that I have an 8 a.m. class on Tuesday, and my professor canceled it, but the announcement didn't go out to everyone, and so I showed up at 8 a.m. on Tuesday, when, in fact, I could have slept in. And so that was just a bit disappointing. But next week is spring break, and I'm not really going anywhere, and so my goal is to just, like, catch up on everything that I want to do. Like, I'm actually very excited to have just a week to myself. As much as I wanted to take a trip, nothing seemed to be, like, coming together that easily, or there was nothing that I was super excited about. So I was like, you know what, it's probably better that I just take some time, catch up on sleep, catch up on some creative work that I want to do, catch up on school a bit, you know, go home and hang out with my mom for a few days if I want to. And so I'm actually very excited for, like, the refresh on rest and work and getting some creative juices flowing again as well. So that's my goal for the week.
I have a new high of the week, and it's that I went to a bar class yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I knew that I was gonna have a day, and that the only time that I had was in the morning, and I needed to get myself there. But I also knew I was not gonna have energy to, like, do an actual workout, so I did a workout class, which I'm not a fan of, But I am a fan of it because had I gone to the gym for an hour, I would have just walked around and like done maybe one bicep curl and called it quits. Yeah. So I got more out of it making myself go to that class.
Did you enjoy it at least?
No.
But that's your high?
Not particularly. My high was that I got myself there.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
And I did it, but...
That's awesome.
I did not like it, but I was like...
It's different.
You know, sometimes it doesn't hit.
Yeah.
What's your goal of the week is to... I'm going to see my friends. So I'm going to...
And Catherine's going to California.
LA and San Diego. And so... gonna be social, but I also have so much work to do, so I have to try and figure out how I'm gonna do everything.
You can pop some work in pockets. I'm sure you can find like cute coffee shops in San Diego too that you can just go and sit down in and actually enjoy your time.
I'm only gonna be in San Diego for a couple days, so we may
in LA.
Hawker walk. Oh, I'm excited to Hawker walk. Hayden, if you're listening, I know you're listening.
A spring Hawker walk in California with the sun is actually sounds super appealing. Mm-hmm. That sounds so nice right on the coast.
Like, get ready.
I am jealous of that. I can picture it so vividly. I feel so happy anytime we're in Hermosa Beach in California and I'm walking by myself with some music in on the boardwalk. That's actually like one of the best feelings. I'm quite jealous that you're gonna experience that. But at the end of the day, like, I just didn't feel like it was the right move for me. So I'm gonna trust my gut with this one.
Intuition, trusting your gut.
Trusting your gut. This is funny because I told Catherine, I was like, I really want to do an episode breaking down intuition. And she texted me back and she's like, yeah, I feel like I have a really strong intuition. Like, my gut told me that I needed to order 3 cappuccinos today at Tate while I was studying.
No, no, no. It said I would order 3. Because here's the thing. And I do have a really, really, really strong intuition. And I do this. But it's most describable with the little... things like that, you know. I was like on my second cappuccino, I was there forever, and I was like, I'm just gonna stick it out and not get one. Like, sue me, I'm gonna save the $5 because $15 total on like coffee after coffee, right? Maybe not for me, but I was like, you know what, I'm not gonna get one. Like, I'm gonna make this decision, and I just felt it deep inside me that like I was gonna get a third.
That almost, okay, no, I know what you mean,
but
I know
it sounds what you stupid mean. It sounds stupid. had I not gotten one,
it would have felt wrong.
I would have felt wrong. I would have felt off. I would have felt uneasy. I would have felt like queasy.
You would have felt it deep because in your gut that it was wrong.
Remember when I canceled on G, like, we talked, this is my low of the week, a while ago. One Friday we had plans with our friend for like a couple weeks. And I canceled a couple hours before. I just knew the entire day. I had a gut feeling that I was going to cancel.
When you have a gut feeling that you're going to cancel social plans, that's like everyone in every social setting is like, low-key, I want to cancel.
A gut feeling that was the best decision to me, for me.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, well, it's funny because I do think that...
sue me.
You know. Like, I think that anytime you have to make a decision, and we've talked about different elements of decision-making, like decision fatigue and choice overload and all of these things when we try to overthink situations, and it's kind of silly because deep down, I think you always know the answer, even if you're, like, trying to argue with it and even if you're trying to overthink something or you're trying to overcomplicate something. It's kind of like if you talk about choice overload. Like, if you go to an ice cream shop and there's only vanilla, chocolate, or twist, you're going to know, like, immediately what you want between those flavors. But if you go somewhere where there's 100 different flavors posted, suddenly you're going to start feeling like you don't know what decision to make, and you're going to have, like, FOMO no matter what decision you make because there's always an alternative. And you don't know what you're missing because it's not as simple as, you know, just vanilla or chocolate or twist. But I think that goes with anything in life a little bit. The more that you start adding all of these other alternatives and the more that you start overcomplicating it, the more that it is going to seem like there is never a right answer and that there's all these alternatives and that almost everything is wrong. And no matter what decision you go with, there's going to be some FOMO or some regret or some overthinking because you've created all these other choices. Whereas I think a lot of the time we know immediately what the first choice is and we try to overcomplicate our decisions and we make them more complicated than they have to be.
But you kind of know immediately. And around.
So trusting your gut means relying on that intuition and your natural instinct when you're making a decision rather than overanalyzing it or rather than solely relying on logical reasoning. You know, sometimes our subconscious minds pick up on cues and have this information backed up that our conscious minds might overlook or like undervalue when we're trying to make a decision in the moment. And so sometimes that means that you have this instinctual response that just feels right, even if you can't immediately rationalize why, which that can also be confusing in and of itself, because sometimes you feel like something is the way to go and it's just like, you know, and you literally can like feel it physically in your gut sometimes, but logically you don't necessarily understand why, because on paper that might not seem like the logical choice, but for whatever reason, like in your gut and in your subconscious mind, that feels like the right way to go. And so sometimes that causes this internal conflict of like, do I trust this feeling even though I'm not sure exactly why I'm feeling it, or do I try to logic this situation and add all of these other alternatives and add all of this decision criteria that wouldn't necessarily exist if I just went with the intuition? Because when you go with intuition, it's not like you're going through a distinct decision-making process of like, what's all my decision criteria? What are all my alternatives? What checks the box? Like, you just kind of go with this subconscious feeling of what's right, which can be a bit scary sometimes when there isn't the justification to support it other than it feels right to you.
Other than the vibes.
But, and Catherine and I do say a lot that our best decisions and our best life paths have come from rolling with the vibes rather than...
I don't know if that sentence has ever come out of my mouth.
Okay. Maybe not in those direct words. But we do say a lot, or I say, like, if somebody asks me, where do you want to be in 5 years or something? Like, I do not know. I don't want to give you a definitive answer of that, because I think that I care more about what my life feels like and the vibe of it rather than telling you that this is exactly where I have to be in 5 years and this is exactly the checked boxes that I have to have in my life, because that's not actually how life works. Like, that denotes the feeling of life and the natural evolution of life and the fact that, like, you don't know what opportunities or what challenges are going to come your way. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes making the most logical choice actually isn't the most logical choice, because it doesn't take into consideration like the fact of being human. You know what I mean?
I think a part of this whole concept too is not trying to push things that don't fit. So it's not like, it's not necessarily about being presented with choices and like choosing the right one, but it's also knowing when to like stop doing something or go in a different direction. And so I think your intuition is also important in trusting the like natural evolution of your life and following that rather than like trying to force something in a different direction because maybe logically it makes more sense than what's happening, or, you know, choices that are being made for you for whatever reason. And that could be like a career path or, you know, friends or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of higher ticket items, but short term, if your day goes differently and you have to move things around and you want to like fight for a different organization of your day and it feels really tiresome and draining and like not worth it almost, then your intuition in that sense would be understanding that like it feels not worth it to push to keep something on my schedule or to keep something at this time when I could move it and be flexible, and understanding your intuition and trusting that rather than like your head and what you selfishly want for things can be really important and helpful too.
Mm. So we describe that intuition as like this gut feeling, but it's hard to know why that's happening and why we feel that way and if it should actually be trusted or if there's any truth to it. But psychologically, we know that there's a huge connection between the brain and the body, and also between the brain and the gut. Like, the mind-gut connection is so huge, and I know that I feel that so much for myself. Like, I don't know if anybody else is the same way, but like, you know, as someone with a very sensitive stomach, I feel like I feel everything in my gut. Like, in Catherine, well, okay, maybe that's a stretch, but like, you know, like, if I'm feeling anything, I describe myself as feeling nauseous, like, all the time. Like, if I'm stressed about something, if I'm like worried about something, if I'm just like having a bad mental thing, like I feel nauseous, like I feel mm-hmm. it in my stomach. And then vice versa, like if I eat something that upsets my stomach, like it'll make me anxious as well. Like I have a very strong mind gut connection, and there's science behind that too, because I've looked into that because I feel it so much. But our brains and our bodies and all of these systems inside of us are connected, like they're not separate entities.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that
you feel something as like a gut feeling, or you feel something like in your body and not just in your mind. And it makes sense that it is actually linked to your mind and psychologically. So I looked into a little bit about why that happened. So a few things in play here are, one, subconscious processing. So, you know, our brains are constantly processing information, and a lot of it is outside of our conscious awareness. And a lot of it is not like, I am doing this and I am learning this and I want to retain this information. A lot of it is, you know, patterns that we subconsciously recognize, memories that kind of sit in the back of our mind, cues that we pick up from our environment. And when this subconscious processing detects something significant, it can manifest as a gut feeling because it's picking up on that pattern. It's subconsciously thinking about a memory and something that happened before. It's picking up on one of these cues from your environment that it recognizes as having happened before, or that it sees an outcome with and is trying to tell you something. And so that gut feeling can signal you to pay attention to something, to act in a certain way, even if you're not consciously aware of the underlying information that's leading you to that. A lot of the time there is information there. It's just subconscious. It's just a little bit underneath the surface. Similarly, your emotional memory plays a big role in this. You know, gut feelings are often linked to emotional memories. That's why it feels so distinct, and there's a connection between feeling it physically and having an emotion around it. The brain's limbic system, which processes emotions, that associates certain emotions and certain stimuli with past experiences, with emotions that you've had. And so if a current situation is subconsciously matching a past experience, that's going to trigger a gut feeling and an intuitive response, which is going to guide your decisions based on emotional learning and like emotionally what you've experienced in the past, maybe because it's trying to get you to avoid a negative emotion. If it feels like something is triggering an event or an emotion that's been negative for you in the past, or it's just leading you in one way or another based on that emotional memory. We also have mental shortcuts, so heuristics that our brains use to make quick judgments and decisions. This is funny because I'm like learning about heuristics a lot in an organizational behavior class I'm taking right now, because it's very connected to biases and things like that when you're talking about like people and how people work together. Like, we have these mental shortcuts and these judgments and these biases that are in our brains, and they're hard to override. And our brain uses them because they're efficient, right? When we have these shortcuts, they help us make quick decisions, but they're not always fully rational or logical. Mm-hmm. And so this is one way that a gut feeling can sometimes not be totally the right move, because if it's coming, if it's like a heuristic coming out to play and it's just like a quick snap judgment, it's based on a bias, it's based on something, but it's not taking into account like the full situation, it's maybe not being that rational, that's going to be guiding you based on some simplified rules or some patterns that are from past experiences, and it might not be taking into account the full situation in the moment. So that is one mental thing where I think trusting your gut, you know, you could put a negative spin on it. Otherwise,
starting to learn Mandarin on Rosetta Stone is such a core memory for Caroline and I. I remember when our dad first started traveling for work and was using Rosetta Stone himself, we'd hop on the computer after him and do the lessons too. Fast forward, we ended up moving to Hong Kong and learning Mandarin, and it actually became such a core part of who we are. Languages connect you to people, maybe your family or new friends, and to cultures so strongly. I think language learning is such a lifelong hobby, which is why Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership is so amazing. I'm using Rosetta Stone all over again now to brush up on my Mandarin and get my skills back to fluent. Rosetta Stone has 25 languages you can learn through their intuitive and immersive approach to help you language learn effectively. So don't put off learning that new language. There is no better time than right now to get started. And Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today and get 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
You know what I don't miss at all? The vicious week before your period, where you just want to crawl out of your skin, not able to keep up a routine or maintain healthy habits. Because personally, I just lose all steam. I feel down or just super off, and that's why Happy Mammoth has been so helpful these past few months. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it truly shows. Happy Mammoth has what you need for gut health, hormone balancing, detoxification, anti-aging, beauty, mood, clarity, sleep, and even a really comprehensive quiz that will make sure you know what products are right for you. So check out what Happy Mammoth has for you and see what you might want to try.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code GOALS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code GOALS for 15% off today.
I think we've talked very positively about trusting your gut because there's these underlying emotions and patterns and stuff that this gut feeling is trying to lead you toward or away from something. But we also want to be aware that, you know, it could be these mental shortcuts that aren't taking into account the full picture. And you want to make sure that you're not, you know, passing judgment or creating biases or even taking past traumas and past experiences and projecting them onto a new situation when it's not the actual situation.
Yeah, that can, because you're almost like, it's kind of a safety thing of like, I'm going to assume that this situation or make this situation similar to something in the past. So then when you react in the same way, when your first instinct is to react in the same way, then the situation at hand may not actually be,
yeah,
you know, what you think it is, and it may not be bad necessarily. I think this mostly comes out to play when things are bad or painted to be bad, and then you can be left, you know, your first instinct is to react in the same way because you know how to react and you know how it went. It's kind of like a safety thing because you've already done it, so you know, regardless of if it's bad, you're good with it because you know you've already done it before. So you can turn good or neutral situations into bad situations because your first instinct is to act in that way.
Mm. Like, have you ever been on the other side of that with somebody where maybe, like, you don't understand the logic of somebody's decision or you don't understand the decision? Like, I almost feel like we get frustrated with our mom sometimes if we feel like she's, like, holding herself back from doing something because it almost seems, like, irrational sometimes, the decision somebody might be making based on some, like, really past experience or some really past thought or idea that they just can't like get past enough to see the situation for what it is. That can be kind of frustrating to be on the other side of as well when somebody has these
because in mental sense, shortcuts in their mind. You can't argue or try and rationalize it like you said because neither party is understanding or has rational thoughts leading up to it.
The final thing that I came across when looking into why we kind of have these gut feelings and why we might have really strong intuitions is also there's an element of, like, evolutionary adaptation, you know, from an evolutionary perspective.
Where did you get your degree?
Google. I did some, you know, I did some research. I was curious about this. But, like, you know, if you think about humans and how we've adapted and, you know, the animalistic side of things, instinctive reactions to danger or to opportunity are kind of embedded within us because, you know, at a certain point in the world, and even at certain points now, but, you know, not as often, but in high-risk scenarios, like, having strong instincts can be, like, life or death in some situations. So, like, you know, if you take humans deep down as, like, ancestral and where we came from, but also some high-risk situations now, like, we need to have intuition because you don't have time to logic every decision sometimes.
Right. I think that's, like, driving. Mom and I had this conversation because, oh my god, they saw a heinous accident, which is so bad. And so we talk about driving a lot because every time my mom's driving and sees an accident, she's like, by the way, we could be in a different country. And she goes, by the way, there's a really bad accident on a 995, like, be safe. I'm like, I'm not operating a car right now. I'm not on I-95. Like, thanks though. So, and every time I'm driving, I'm like, and something happens, you know, if someone, like, goes to cut you off or something, you react and, like, swerve or do something before you even have time to think. It just, like, it, your body just does things like that. And I always think it's really cool when that happens because, like, you know before you even know to do things to keep you safe.
Or sometimes you see TikTok videos of, like, you know, a kid is falling or slipping and, like, you see a parent just, like, instinctually grab them and stuff. And so there are things that you don't think about and you just have these, like, actions and thoughts and stuff. And a lot of the time those can be for good. But when it comes to the negative side, like, you want to make sure that you're not taking shortcuts without actually thinking through what the situation is at hand and not kind of taking the easy way out shortcut. So two big ways that, or I guess two big categories of trusting your gut that I see are trusting your gut with people and trusting your gut with life choices. Because I think, you know, those are two really big buckets of life where we, one, have big decisions to make sometimes, but also two, I think have really strong intuition about, sometimes in an unexplainable way. Sometimes you have really strong intuition about people, and it's almost like hard to explain. Like, you might not even have had a conversation with somebody. You might not know them very well at all. But like, sometimes just picking up the energy of a person, like, you can tell whether you like them, whether you don't like them, whether you think they're a good person and they're welcoming, or whether you think they're schemey or closed off or negative. Like, it doesn't take much, I think, humanly, when meeting a person, to have a gut feeling.
What's that book? Spark? Nope. Snap? Nope. Blink.
Blink. Malcolm Gladwell? Blink. Yuck. Explain that. I haven't read that in a very long time.
Neither have I. But, like, it's just about snap judgments and how people, like, make, I think. If I'm wrong, correct me, someone. But, like, before you even... And I think the point of the book is that it's not necessarily a good thing that people do that, but I think you also get a vibe. You know when you meet someone, you're like, not into it. And then other people are like, what? What? And then, like, a year later, everyone's like, You're right. Some intuition in that sense. The other thing Cameron brought up was, like, jobs and bigger decisions. Like, if you get a job offer and it maybe on paper is, like, really good, but you just for some reason feel like you shouldn't take it or don't want to take it, that's a massive sign. There's no rationale. There's no reasoning. It's kind of hard to explain these scenarios because there's literally no explanation to the vibe of intuition. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's interesting that that occurs, and often, like, again, who knows if it's the right or wrong choice? We don't have all the information on every single scenario. But in that situation, if you were to take that job that you had a really bad vibe about, even because the offer was good, you would probably go to that job and be uncomfortable and uneasy, like, about that decision. And maybe it'll wear off, and maybe it won't. But it's just interesting how stuff plays out when you have a feeling. That feeling stays with you when you go in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to go back to people and how you said that sometimes you feel something, other people don't necessarily see it, and then it can kind of be a common scenario where, like, you know, a year down the line, people come back and they're like, yeah, you were right, like, you knew from the start. That, I mean, I've been on the other side of that sometimes, where somebody has thought a certain thing about somebody, felt a certain way, and I haven't really seen it, and then later on it really comes out. We talk about energy givers and energy takers, and how that can be people as well. How you can feel sometimes that being around certain people really energizes you and just feels so light and fun and happy in a sense, and how being around other people can sometimes feel more draining and more like work and more like a force. You can tell immediately when you click somebody. And I think that that is the real sign, is like, does this feel like an energy giver or an energy drainer right when you meet somebody? And I just don't think that that changes unless, of course, like, you know, people go through growth and people change, and then you meet at different periods of your life. But I don't think that, like, day to day that's going to change very much, or day to day that should change very much, because I think that, like, where you are at in life and who you are versus where somebody else is at in life and where they are, like, either it clicks in, like, an energy creating, light, fun, happy way, or it just feels like draining and feels like work. Even if you respect the person, even if you like the person, I think that you feel that in your gut and you feel that in your energy, whether somebody is energizing you or whether they're draining you. I also think that you can have a pretty strong intuition about somebody's character right away. You know, sometimes I have a gut feeling that somebody has a bit of a shady side, or that they can't 100% be trusted, or there's just something that feels off about it. But maybe it's not that prevalent, and maybe there are, like, other good qualities, or, you know, they're super popular, or they're just somebody that you want to be around for whatever reason. And so maybe I ignore it. It always comes back. It always comes back, right? Like, I don't think that there's ever been a situation where you felt something like that, or felt like something is off, something is imbalanced, and you've, like, pushed through and you've ignored that and it's fixed itself. It never has. It almost always just, like, gets worse, or it comes to a head and then you're like, damn, why did I put the effort into that, and why did I put the care into that when, like, I knew that something was wrong the whole time and I just kind of overlooked it, and then it only ended up hurting me.
Trust is a good point there. When you trust people and you're like, ooh, I don't trust this person. So there's one aspect that we've talked about, is the, like, trusting your choices and intuition in that sense. But the other thing, I think, when it's applied to people, in the amount that you trust people and what you trust them with, is so telling, because that is just intuition. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course trust is built up over time, but there is a certain level of, like, immediate sense, and some people have limits to how much you can trust them just because it's how people click. Someone that's super trustworthy to someone is going to be not super trustworthy for someone else. That's just how people are. That's mm-hmm. how things go. But it is interesting that, you know, you might catch yourself changing stories or like leaving parts out or choosing not to tell someone something because of how much or how little, I guess, you trust them.
Yeah.
Which is interesting that it just happens without you kind of thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to people, I absolutely think that trusting your gut over anything is the way to go. I just think there's not really a way to logically reason people that is so prevalent and so strong that it's going to override your gut feeling and your intuition about a person and about what that relationship is or about like how much or how little you vibe with them. I just don't think that there's like a way to logic yourself out of that. And so I think that with people, that's definitely a scenario where I'm all for trusting your gut. I think in general, I'm pretty pro trusting your gut because like I said before, it just like as much as I like to overthink things sometimes and as much as I like to be indecisive and as much as my brain likes to like make lists and try to find logic and things and try to find the best solution, I do believe at the end of the day, you know, deep down, that logic, even if something is like right logically and on paper, it still doesn't even mean that it's right for you because I just don't think that it always takes into account the human element in life. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to life changes, I think that that one has a bit more blurred lines with it because naturally there has to be some logic behind life choices. Like what you do in your life, like it has to be financially responsible for you, right? Like you have to make sure that you have, you know, food and water and shelter and all of these basic necessities. You can't like gut feeling your way out of those. You can't ignore logic in a sense that's going to be like super financially irresponsible mm-hmm. and not set you up to actually have a safe life. But I also don't think that you should ever make a life choice based on logic alone, because then what does that actually mean to you? Because at the end of the day, like your life is not necessarily about the vanity of it to anybody else. It's not about the boxes that you check and following the path. Because really, what else matters in life if it doesn't feel good to you? Like if you're not happy in your life, if it doesn't feel successful and fulfilling to you, then what does anything else matter? Even if logically, like you take the path that you're supposed to take, even if you choose the job that's going to make you the most money, even if you, you know, buy the apartment that you're supposed to buy and do all these things and you live in the place you're supposed to live, like if you make these logical decisions, that doesn't mean anything if your life doesn't feel good to you. And so as much as logical reasoning has to be a part of it to make sure that you, you know, have safety and security in your life, I also think that you need to trust your gut when you make choices in your life for what is actually going to make you feel happy and fulfilled day to day, whether that's who you surround yourself with, whether that's the work you do, even if it means taking something a little riskier, you know, taking a riskier path or taking something for a little less pay initially, but it's so much more exciting to you and you see more mobility in it and you see more freedom in it and you're more excited about what it is. Or maybe it's moving to a completely different location just because like it feels right to you and you feel like you want the adventure of it. You know, there has to be an element of trusting your gut when it comes to making decisions about your life, because you should also be making choices based on how your life feels rather than just the perception of it. So I also think that when it comes to life, if something feels right, you should follow that, because you can always turn around and change your mind later. But if you're drawn to something in the moment, it's for a reason.
Which I think is a really good like core belief to have, that you can change your mind. One, not in the sense of I have no commitment to anything, I can change my mind anytime, but I'm going to commit fully to everything I do and understand that like if it runs its course and I want to change or need to change something, like I'm okay with that. And a lot of that, I think, comes down to, once again, confidence. Because when you are confident in yourself and your abilities and that trust of your intuition, that's when you can fully support changing of ideas and make the most out of it, so that you get the most out of what you're currently doing and get the most out of what, you know, you're changing your mind to go do. Mm-hmm. Other than if you didn't do that, you would half-ass both things and then just not get anything out of anything. One example of us changing our mind was this last, I don't even know what to call it, the last fall of this year, when we, you know, took time off of school to travel. Our initial plan was we were gonna take the same time off of school and go to LA for that 3 months or for however long it was and work there. we got so far into that, like, we were like, oh, do we need to ship our car? Like, what's it? Like, we were set on it. Like, that's what we were going to do. Until we realized that we had the opportunity to use that 3 months, super short amount of time. And we likely won't get 3 months just travel like that when, you know, who knows where we'll be in the next year, next 2 years. So we decided to capitalize on that and do exactly what we planned to do in LA, but just while traveling. And we then shifted and committed fully to that. So we were fully committed to, like, we're going to take this time off of school and go to LA and, like, maximize being in that environment and connecting with new people, because we've only spent most of our time on the East Coast with all the podcast stuff and connecting with, you know, people in this industry and in this area on the East Coast. So we thought that would be a really cool and exciting opportunity out there. So we ended up doing that, but, like, all around the world and getting to visit some cool places and see some friends that we otherwise wouldn't have seen. And it ended up being such a great choice. And I think it was only a great choice because we committed fully to that and being okay with changing our minds. Had we said, no, we already chose that we're going to do LA and we're going to stay here and, like, we're going to stay planted. I don't know. I mean, obviously we didn't do it, so I don't know how it played out, but I think it would have felt that, like, ooh, I'm missing out on something. I should have done something else. I should have taken the travel opportunity. And you would have known that in the back of your head the whole time, and it would have changed your experience and wouldn't let you fully appreciate being planted in one place doing that, because we were being pulled to do the travel thing. And it ended up being such a great choice, and I'm very grateful that, one, we did it, and two, we were able to do it.
Yeah, I think the first element of trusting our gut in that scenario was, you know, deciding that it felt right to us to take a semester off of school to even begin with, even though that meant being in school for an extra semester than we both had planned in the beginning, and taking, you know, a little bit different of a path and being okay with, like, doing something a little bit different. Because I know, at least for me personally, the second that idea came in my head of, like, taking the time off, focusing on the podcast full time, taking the time to either go to LA and live with other people and meet new people, or what ended up becoming travel, like, the second that idea came into my mind, it felt so right and it felt so aligned with, like, what I needed to do in my life, that it almost became, like, you know, a no-brainer, not even a question. And I think that, like, when you feel that type of way about something, you just need to follow through with it and you need to do it. Like, that is happening for a reason. And I can say that that time ended up being so fulfilling. Even coming back to school now, like, I feel so much more refreshed to be back in school again, having taken that time. I feel so much more clear about, like, what I want in my life. And also just having had those experiences was so enjoyable, and I grew so much from all of that. And so I think the first trusting our gut was just taking that time off from the beginning, but also having planned for so long that we were going to take that time and go to LA, and then suddenly one day it just, like, didn't feel right, and we trusted that and we said, you know, I know it's late in the game, I know that this is what we've planned, but traveling and doing our own thing is just feeling more right. And so we trusted that, and, like, I just can't imagine what would have happened if we didn't, because it was, at least for me, it was, like, one of the best times of my life so far. And so that was just a time where, like, you know, choice after choice, we just kind of trusted the gut, and it really all ended up working out. And at the end of the day, you always can change your mind. Like, even, like, not everything went perfectly according to plan in that scenario as well, but, like, that's okay, because it happened, it was 6 months, and, like, there are other opportunities to make other choices and change your mind and do more down the line. And I know that now, moving forward in my life, like, I don't even know what the next year ahead of me is going to look like. I don't know where I'm going to be in 2 years. I don't know where I want to live and exactly what I want to do after I graduate school. But, like, I'm not stressing about it, because I truly am trusting that, like, when the right thing falls into my lap, and when I know, I'm going to know, because I know that every other good decision that has happened for me before, like, I've had such a strong intuition about it when the situation has fallen into my lap and when the opportunity has presented itself. Like, when I've known, I've known. And so all of these events happening before just has kind of led me to trust that as long as I, you know, keep working at what's in front of me and open myself up to opportunities and trust that the right one is going to come, then when the right one does come, it's going to feel right, and I'll be able to trust my intuition with that. So hopefully this episode was pretty interesting for you guys in kind of being able to break down logical reasoning versus trusting your gut, and also why we have these gut feelings. And hopefully it motivates you to trust yourself and trust your gut a little bit more, because Catherine and I always say that building trust with yourself is, like,
one of the most important parts to having a good relationship with yourself and building confidence, being able to just trust your feelings and trust your decisions. And so a huge part of that comes from listening to this intuition, understanding why it happens. And of course, we wanted to bring in logical reasoning because, you know, you don't want to totally throw that out the window, and there's absolutely a time and a place for that. And I think it should be a little bit of a part of everything. But, you know, I really do believe that a lot of your life is about how you feel, and trusting how you feel is such an important thing. So hopefully this was motivating for you guys to be able to trust yourself and make those choices in the future. And it was, you know, a pretty informative episode for you.
Make sure you guys are following the podcast, Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen, and the podcast TikTok and Instagram at Girls With Goals Pod, as well as our personals, adding Catherine Kinnean, at Caroline Kinnean. Those are all linked in the show notes below. So click on over if you want to check that out. The merch link is also in the show notes below if you want an Impress Yourself beanie and Impress Yourself hoodie. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.